Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Oh, Lord, thank you for the privilege that we have to have a copy of it, Lord, that it is so simple to have access to your word here, Lord. Lord, where I heard this statistic that 1 in 14 believers in Africa can have a copy of your word. Oh, Lord, thank you for this privilege, Lord, that it's like each of us has a cell phone to God. Lord, you speak through your word. It's living. It's active. You've said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will stand forever. Lord, that it's flawless. It's perfect. And Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of reading it, of hearing your word preached. And we pray that right now you would speak to our hearts through your word, Lord. Thank you for the message that you have for us this morning. Lord, get me out of the way and speak to us, Lord. And may we receive what you have. May our hearts be open and good soil, as you describe, Jesus, so that when your word comes into our hearts, we will take it and we will obey it, and that it will bear much fruit. Lord, would you do that even right now, Lord? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I used to play a lot of baseball growing up. And that was my favorite sport, or it was the sport that I was the best at, and that's what I always did from 4 years old into, I guess, the possibilities of college, but it didn't go too much further there. But one thing I remember having to learn, I was a pitcher, and I don't know how many times my coaches had to teach me when you're pitching I wonder if I can do that wind up when I'm 41 now. But, you know, when you're pitching and, you know, you throw that ball and right after it's hit, first base is over here, right after it's hit, if that ball's hit right over here and it's a ground ball to the first baseman, where are you supposed to be? The pitcher. Where are you supposed to be? You throw that ball and you ground ball to first base. Well, I guess until I learned it, I would stand right here. And so I probably heard that a lot. Where are you supposed to be, Derek? Where are you supposed to be? When that ball is hit down the first baseline, the pitcher is to sprint over there to first base and run down that line. And if that's the first baseline, run down that line and look for that. The first baseman's catching that ground ball, and look for that ball, and he'll toss it to you, and you just touch the base, and then you're the one, you know, you got the out at first. Well, when you're not where you're supposed to be, it would be painful. Your coach is going to yell at you. You're going to have another runner on. Maybe that runner's going to score. Maybe you're going to lose the game. It can cause a lot of bad stuff. But if you're where you're supposed to be, and you just do what you're supposed to do, you get out, and it's a good thing. Where are you supposed to be in life? Where are you supposed to be right now? I believe you're in the right place. I believe you chose wisely this morning. I believe at some point it's either a habit for you, as it should be, for all of us. You either just get up Sunday morning and you don't even think about making a decision. You just come to church. You just come to Bible study and then you go to church. You just do it. And it's just second nature to you. But some of us are newer at it, or maybe we've been away for a little while and we're getting back into it. And so you might have to really, you know, think, oh, it's Sunday morning. Whoa, you know, get to church. You know, get to Bible study, get to church, you know. But we've made some wise decisions here this morning. I believe each of us this morning are where you're supposed to be. There's going to be good things that come from that. And you know, there's always 24/7. There's not a second that goes by. There's not a millisecond that goes by that there's not a place you're supposed to be. God has a will for you. He has a desire. He has a place. He has somewhere he always wants you to be. He wants you to be here. And he wants you to be over there. And he wants you to be. He always, 24/7, there's never a time God doesn't have a place for you to be. And we need to be where he wants us to be and stay in the center of his will. Stay where he wants us to be. Move where he wants us to move. And so the title of this message is, be where you're supposed to be. Go into the battle. Go into the battle. Let's look at 2 Samuel together. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And if you're new at this, get you a Bible right there in the chair. And from now on, bring yours with you. Get you one and bring it with you, so you can have your copy of the Word of God that you're always spending time in and that you know. And turn to 2 Samuel 11. If you're new at this, that's in the Old Testament. Just start at the beginning. You'll see Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Keep going, and you'll see Samuel after Judges and 1st. And you want 2 Samuel chapter 11. And let's look at this together. Let's just look at these first five verses together. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. David is king. Right now, he is the king. But it says, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. She had purified herself from her uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I am pregnant." Be where you're supposed to be. Go into the battle. We can learn from these five verses right here, first and foremost, that we need to be in and stay in the Lord's will. You need to be in and stay in the Lord's will, as well as I do. Look at verse 1. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. It tells what they did. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. And look at this. But David remained in Jerusalem. Where was he supposed to be? What happens at that time? This is the time that kings go off to war. But David didn't go off to war. David stayed back and he didn't go to his duty. He stayed back and remained in Jerusalem and let them go off. Be in and stay in the Lord's will. And it became very, very disastrous. We only touched on everything that happened and all the pain that came from staying back, not going to duty, not going where you're supposed to go. We only touched on the surface that there was sin and that Bathsheba was pregnant. And it goes on a lot further than that. A lot of other things happened, and David committed a lot more sins than that. Be in and stay in the Lord's will. Ultimately, stay in God's will. That's what he wants for you. That's what's best for you. That's his plan for you. That's where life is. True life. You know, some people will sometimes people will do something they really enjoy, and maybe it's their favorite thing to do in life, and when they're caught up in the middle of doing it, they'll say, "This is the life." Oh, no, it's not. Nothing tops Jesus. Nothing tops being with Him and being closer and closer to Him every day, and closer to Him you get, the better and better life is, and the more you experience true life that God has for you. He said, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it to the full." The full life, true life, is only in Jesus, and that's where you experience it. And so it's only in His will. It's only in His desires for you. It's only in the place that He wants you at any given moment. That's where life is. And that's what's best for you. And so we all need to always be in and stay in the Lord's will. And sometimes His will is just obvious. Sometimes His will, you don't even have to think about it. It's just the place you're supposed to be. And obviously that's God's will, because that's the place you're supposed to be. Sometimes it's that simple. Where am I supposed to be right now? Sometimes it's so obvious. If I'm school age and it's a school day and it's before 2 o'clock, some schools get out at 2:15, but if it's before that, where am I supposed to be? In school. You don't have to search for God's will there. It's just so obvious. You just be where you're supposed to be, and that's God's will. You're supposed to be in school. And so sometimes His will is just so obvious. Or if I work, if I have a job, and it's the working hours, where am I supposed to be? Working. Working. At work. Or maybe, where am I supposed to be? And so you think about that, and you can always ask that question, "Lord, is this where I'm supposed to be?" You can always ask that question. You can sit there, right there in your comfortable seat in church right now at this moment, and you can say, "Lord, is this where I'm supposed to be?" You can always ask that. You can always find out. "Lord, is this where you want me? Is this where I'm supposed to be? Lord, here I am at the casino. Is this where I'm supposed to be? Is this where you want me, Lord? Lord, here I am looking at pornography on the internet. Is this where you want me, Lord? Is this where I'm supposed to be? Lord, here I am living with this person. Lord, we're not married, but here I am living with her. Is this where you want me, Lord? Is this where I'm supposed to be?" You can always ask that question. "Lord, it's Sunday morning. Where am I supposed to be? Church is on TV, Lord. Is that okay? Am I supposed to be staying here and just watch church on TV? Is that fine? Lord, where am I supposed to be? What about this marriage, Lord? What about this marriage? You see how painful it is? You see how much trouble it is? You see the problem with it? Lord, is this where I'm supposed to be? Do you want me to stay in this marriage?" Well, Jesus has only given 2 allowances for a divorce. One, if there's been marital unfaithfulness, then, you know, God hates divorce. It's never His will or His plan. But there's only 2 allowances that He gives. And one time he said, well, if there's been marital unfaithfulness, then that's permissible. There's a permissible divorce. Or if you're married and then your spouse is not a believer and then they choose to leave you and you can't stop, they just want to leave you, you can let them go. You can let them. If you're a believer and they're not and they want to go and they're trying to leave you. But that's it. So otherwise, is the marriage painful? Is it hard? Is it, Lord, is this where you want me? You want me to stay in this marriage? That's what He says. That's His will. That's what His word says. Where am I supposed to be? Lord, working? Lord, am I, is this where you want me, Lord? Maybe I find myself unemployed. I've been there before that. I bet a lot of people have been here. I bet a lot of people have been there before. I've been there at different times. Maybe you don't have a job. Well, we know that it's God's will that we work 6 days and rest the 7th. He made us for work. He made Adam in the garden, and the work came before the fall. Work is just a God-ordained, incredible, wonderful thing that he wants for us. Now, it became hard after the fall, and then now you work by the sweat of your brow and all that. But God's plan is for us to work 6 days and rest the seventh. That's his plan. And so it's okay to be unemployed, no problem. But your full-time job is looking for a job. It's okay. You're working 40 hours a week looking for a job. That's fine. That's fine. Where am I supposed to be, Lord? What about this relationship, Lord? Is this what you want? Is this a good thing? Where am I supposed to be? Be where you're supposed to be. Go into the battle. So first of all, let's learn that. Be in and stay in the Lord's will. Next, heed God's warning. Heed God's warning. Whenever you make the choice, whenever I make the choice, as we do, as we fail and we sin, whenever you or I or we make the choice not to be in God's will, oh boy, heed God's warning. He tries to warn us about getting out of his will, not being in his will. He tries to warn us. Let's heed God's warning right here. Let's just look at verses 2 through 5 again and heed God's warning. If anybody is being tempted not to be in the Lord's will and stay in the Lord's will, heed God's warning. In 2 through 5, what happened? David didn't, he didn't be where he's supposed to be, go to his duty. He stayed back, stayed at home when at the time when kings go off to war, and that's what the kings are supposed to do at that time. What happened? He stayed back. Let's heed the warning. Look what happened. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. We submit ourselves to great temptations and terrible things outside of the Lord's will. When we're not where we're supposed to be, temptation can be a very powerful thing. The devil can really go to work. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And so there's no telling how many sins David committed. If the Lord wanted him out there with the kings, then he sinned by staying back. And then he lusted. And then he committed adultery. And then he lied. And he kept on lying, and he just lived a lie, trying to cover this thing up. And then he got this bright idea to bring her husband back, and maybe he could get her to spend some time with her husband, and then he could maybe it wouldn't look like the baby was his. And so he had all these plans and tried all sin, all of it, just one sin after another, building on top of each other over and over and over. And eventually that plan, this was a noble man, Uriah the Hittite. He came back from battle. He wouldn't even go near his wife. He said, all the men of Jerusalem, they're out on the battlefield. They're in their tents. I'm not going to go sleep at home with my wife. I'll sleep right outside the king's palace here. And he was a noble guy. He wouldn't even go enjoy time with his wife. And he said, I'm going to do that. So that didn't work. And then David got him drunk, more and more sin. And then causing somebody else to stumble, getting him drunk. And then it's just one, you can go on. There's no telling how many sins David committed. And then sent him back into battle and sent him with a letter to Joab, his chief officer out there on the battlefield, and sent Uriah the Hittite back with this letter saying, put him on the front lines and when the battle is the fiercest, then withdraw from him. What was David saying? You know, make sure this guy dies. You know, kill this guy. This guy's got to die. And then that happens. He murdered David. Wow. Heed God's warning. Be where you're supposed to be. God tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, be very careful then. Here's how to live your life. Here's how to live your life. Wake up in the morning and go ahead and get with the Lord before the day starts, before the clock starts ticking, before everything starts swarming around you, and before everybody's calling for your attention, and the phone's calling for your attention, and the TV's calling for your attention, or whatever calls for your attention, I don't know what it is, but before all that happens, get up real early while it's quiet and the world hadn't started yet, and maybe it's even dark outside. I don't know if you're a morning person or not, but when the world is quiet, get up and do Ephesians 5. Be very careful. Go ahead and give your day to the Lord. Give everything to the Lord and just say, Lord, where am I supposed to be today? What do you have for me today? In Ephesians 5, he says, be very careful then how you live. He didn't even say, be careful how you live. He said, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. You see, if we just go our own way, if we just do what, if we just let the day happen, and we haven't sought the Lord and made any, sought the Lord's plans, if we just kind of let the day happen and just go for it, it goes to evil. It goes to evil. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. If we just let the time just naturally go, it goes to evil. If we just let ourselves just naturally go, it goes to evil. You have to be intentional to get the Lord's will and find out what He wants for the time, and that's called redeeming the time. That's called buying the time up. That's called using the time for the optimum thing at that moment. In other words, the Lord's will, where He wants you at every given moment. That's what He says. Be very careful that you do that. You know where the Lord wants you at every given moment. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So as you're going about throughout your day, if there's any time during the day where you don't know what the Lord's will is and you just keep on living, that's foolish. That's living in foolishness. Know the Lord's will. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. In other words, where He wants you. Where you're supposed to be at any given time, all throughout the day. Where you're supposed to be. Heed God's warning. I heard a story of a man that was running from his captors in a war-type situation. And he was fleeing from his captors and running through the forest, and he came around this corner and he saw a cave, and he just didn't even think about it. He just ran straight in the cave, and he knew the guys wouldn't see him go in there, but then as soon as he got to the back of that cave, he thought, oh my goodness, I just committed suicide. I just killed myself. They're going to come around the corner. They're not going to see me anywhere else in the forest. They're going to see this cave right here. I just ended my life. That's it. And so his captors came flying around that corner and, of course, saw the cave and thought for sure he went in there. But the first guy went up to the cave, and in the sunlight he could see a spider web glistening in the sunlight over the cave's entrance. And he stopped all the men and he said, he's not in here. And then they kept on going off somewhere else. And the guy's like, whoa, thank you, Lord. And I think the story goes he was probably praying in there. And so the moral of the story is, with God, when you're in prayer in the back of the cave, with God, a spider web is more powerful than a fortified city wall of steel. When you're in the Lord's will, when you're praying according to the Lord's will, a spider web is more powerful than a fortified city wall. But when you're not in the Lord's will, and you're not in prayer, and you're not in His presence, a fortified city steel wall is like a spider web. It's the complete opposite. We serve the God of the impossible. He can do anything. If we just stay in His will and connected to Him, that's where there's true life. That is the safest place to be. And it depends on how you define safety. You may say, well, you know, people get martyred. You know, is that really the safest place they could be? They're in the Lord's will and they get martyred. And the best place to be is always in the Lord's will. It's the safest place to be. It's always the best place to be, no matter what happens, with the Lord in the center of His will. That's the best place to be. You just read about Stephen's, the first martyr. Just read about him, and I think you'll get the feeling he was in the best place he could possibly be. He was in the safest place he could possibly be, because they're sitting there stoning him to death. They're throwing stones at him, killing him, and he's sitting there. He looks up and he sees Jesus. He sees the Lord, and he's standing at the right hand of the Father. And if you read it, you just read and you just observe Stephen when he's dying. It just sounds like he's completely at peace, probably overjoyed as the stones are hitting him, because he's just seeing Jesus. Anyway, the place of the Lord, that's the best place to be. No matter what your pain is, no matter what you're going through, being in His will is the safest and the best place to be, no matter what it is. God's will is the best place. You see, sometimes you might get afraid and you might say, you know, here's my Bible study role here. You know what? I'm not going in that neighborhood. I have all these sheep that I'm looking for, so to speak. You know, I've got people that I don't know where they are. But you know what? I'm not going to go in that neighborhood. That might not be safe. I don't know about that. If you know the Lord is calling you to go, if you know He wants you to go in there, that's the safest place you can be. You know what? That's if you know that's where He wants you and you're holding back and you know He wants you going over there, you're going to be a lot more unsafe going back home and locking all your doors and turning the alarm on than you will going in the center of that neighborhood and talking to everybody about Jesus. It's the Lord's will. That's the best place to be. That's the safest place to be. And so heed God's warning. When we get outside of it, when we go our way, when we let fear stop us, the wages of sin is death. And you just look at David here and you look at sin on top of sin on top of sin, and ultimately that child died. That child had to die. His child, he did all this fasting for this child, hoping that child would. The wages of sin is death. Anytime we get outside of the Lord's will, we're going toward death. It might not come immediately. Who knows? It might, but it might not come immediately. But just heed God's warning. And finally, follow the Lord into battle. Let's, in verse 1, when we look at that, and David stayed back, and they all went at the times that kings go out to war. Let's do the opposite of what David did here. Let's learn, and let's follow the Lord into battle. Let's do what David did not do. Starting with the battle of your day. You live in a battle. If you're a Christian, you're in a battle. It's called a spiritual battle. And you've probably seen books on it and every spiritual warfare. And if you're a Christian, you have an enemy, the devil, and your own flesh, by the way, your own evil desires, and the world and all its teachings. You got all these things against you. And you know what? One of the first things I do when I get out of there, I would pray it if my feet did not have to hit the floor. I would pray it right there, but I think I disturb Allison if I'm just sitting on the edge of the bed praying, you know. So I go straight to the bathroom as soon as I'm awake, and I get in the bathroom and I start praying. And one of the things I pray as I start praying in the bathroom is I pray on the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and following, because we live in a spiritual battle. As soon as you get up, the enemy, everything starts working against you, and God wants us to pray on the armor of God. And why did He give us the illustration of armor? Because it's a battle. If you're a Christian, you live in a spiritual battle. You're on the battlefield. You're struggling against all these things, the world, your own flesh, the devil, and there's a battle going on. It's not a playground. It's a battlefield. And so put on the armor of God, first thing you do. And then receive your instructions from the Lord. If you're in a battle, receive your instructions from the King. Get alone with Him. Receive His instructions. Do Ephesians 5. We were talking in Bible study this morning, and Valeria made the comment about how many people are just wasting time. How many people who don't know the Lord are just wasting their lives away. Jesus has his plans and his purpose for their life and all these incredible, the plan he has for them. And if they continue to resist him and go their own way and do their own thing, or if you as a believer do that, go your own way on any given day, how much time do we waste instead of fulfilling his work, finishing the work the Lord has for us? We need to speak like the Apostle Paul in Acts 20 and say, Lord, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. That's what it's all about. And so you need to listen to the Lord every morning and hear him say, here's your mission if you choose to accept it. Here's your mission. Go to Jeremiah 29:11 and let him speak to you from there. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And go to Ephesians 2:10. You're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he's prepared in advance for you to do. He already knows everything he wants you to do on any given day. And then go to Ephesians 5. And then remember what Jesus said. Night is coming when no man can work. Now's the time. Know his will. Stay in his will. Be in his will. Stay in his will. Heed God's warning. Follow the Lord into battle.